All right, we're live.
Better be alive.
Praise the Lord, people. Oh, I had such a time preparing this tonight's message concerning, we are looking at the eight stages of the second advent. It's amazing because as we study and learn together concerning the second coming, we realize that it's not just one event, but it's a series of events culminating in the Battle of Armageddon. Now, remember, the second coming involves four specific geographical locations. Jerusalem, pretend the map is facing you. I'm going to be the map. Jerusalem is the center hub. Everything revolves around Jerusalem, the holy city where the King of Kings will set up his throne and rule and reign for 1,000 years. Now, if you go northwest from Jerusalem, about 20, 25 miles, you'll hit Megiddo. Megiddo, Har, Mount Megiddon. Armageddon. Yes, Lucas.
Is that a part of Israel as well?
Yes, absolutely. That's in Israel.
And Megiddo as well, right?
Yes, Megiddo is in Israel. It's just northwest of Jerusalem. That's our second location involving the second advent. Thirdly, if you go south from Jerusalem, southeast, you will hit Edom, which is modern-day Jordan, with a town called Bozrah. Bozrah contains a place called Silapetra. As we go on in our studies, you're going to find out how important Silapetra is. That's our third location. The fourth location we'll be talking about tonight, and that is Babylon. From Jerusalem, you go due east, way over here, maybe couple hundred miles, and you'll hit modern-day Baghdad, which was Babylon. Yes, Lucas?
I do have a question for you about that, though. I was discussing this with a buddy of mine on Facebook, and he came to the conclusion that Babylon actually is modern America. Would you say that that's accurate?
No, Babylon is not America. We're talking about literal Babylon. Literal Babylon was Baghdad. They changed the name to Baghdad years ago. But we're talking about the historic Babylon over there in Iraq. And when God speaks of it in his word, he's speaking literally. Now, that fellow you're talking to, he's speaking spiritually. Somehow America is Babylon spiritually. And, that it's good makes for good preaching, but, you know, how accurate is it, we don't know.
Well, like, Chris, what I mean is that, like, if you think about it, I don't know if you've done any research on this. I've done a little bit. There are members in our United States government who are members of, like, the secret society, Skull and Bones,
Illuminati, absolutely. Yeah, they absolutely are. All of your high-ranking politicians are members of the secret underground. You know, it's been around for years. Absolutely. Sadly. But getting back to our message here, the fourth geographical location is literal geographical Baghdad, which is Babylon in the Bible. Okay? It's important to realize that that's literal. When God says something in his word, if he doesn't say it's a parable or a spiritual illustration or an allegory, it's literal. When he says Babylon, he means Babylon. And you're going to see tonight why it is literal Babylon, the geographical area in Iraq. It is where the Antichrist will set up his worldwide headquarters and rule the world from. Okay, the beast, this massive center of intelligence, this massive computer, some five stories high, it's enormous. It will contain the information of every human being on earth. He will have that where? In Babylon, at his headquarters. He'll control the world. So these are the four geographical locations we're looking at when we talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ. They're all involved in the second coming. Tim?
I thought the beast was in Paris, the computer, the beast.
No.
I thought it was in France somewhere.
Oh, you're talking about the computer called the beast. There is a computer in Europe called the beast, yes. But that will probably be, it's probably a prototype. It's probably not the actual one that the Antichrist will use. Because you know how the technology keeps evolving? And like you get a computer now, and in 6 months it's like
obsolete.
Yeah, it's there's new technology, and this my computer died, and I had to get a new computer, and it had this stupid Windows 8. I can't stand it. Windows 8, because I was used to just my desktop, simple click of the, you know. But yeah, I hate it too. And this is what happens. The technology continues to evolve, and more man is increasing in knowledge at exponential rates. And now, the problem is why the Lord has to come back is because we're tapping into the DNA code. And they're trying to make a human being. They want to be God. They want to be the creator. See? And this is what the scientists are looking for. 8 stages of the second coming. Stage 1, as we learned last time, is the gathering of the armies of Antichrist. Somebody tell me, where are they going to gather? No, the armies are going to gather where? Ellie said it.
Megiddo.
They're all going to gather from all over the world in Megiddo by the Valley of Jezreel. That's important to know that. Now, at our first week, we learned all about Megiddo, Megiddon, Mount Megiddon, Megiddo, Mount Megiddo. It's really not a mountain. It's about 500 foot above sea level. It's a hill. But they call it Mount Megiddo. Anyways, that's where, in the Valley of Jezreel, by Mount Megiddo, all of the armies of Antichrist will gather together. Why? We learned...
Slaughter God's people.
That's right. To destroy God's people, the remnant of Israel, the Jews. Why does he want to destroy all the Jews? Lucas.
Well, part of it is, I would definitely say that the enemy absolutely hates anything that God creates. Because anything that God creates represents him. Well, guess what? You wipe that out, and all of a sudden, you take out your revenge on him. And that's what happens since the beginning. Like, I don't know if anybody believes this, but like, what I believe personally is, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of gap theory. I do believe in the gap theory.
The gap theory, yeah.
It's the idea that the enemy fell long before Adam and Eve even existed. Well, why? It's because he wanted God's throne.
Right. That's exactly right.
He
wants God's throne, and he's going after Israel. Hear what he said? That's correct, because if he can destroy every living Jew, the physical Jews...
It won't happen.
It won't happen, no. But if he could, Jesus Christ could not set up his kingdom in Israel over the Jews who receive him. You see? His logic is, if I kill the Jews, the Bible isn't true. And Jesus cannot come and set up his kingdom over Israel, because that's where he's going to set it up. But he's going to fail, as we see. Now, first of all, let me say this. From our first week, what we saw was the gathering of the armies of Antichrist at Megiddo. Nothing has happened yet. No battle. No one's died yet. You understand that? Nothing has occurred yet as far as fighting goes. The War of Armageddon, the battle has not taken place yet. They've just gathered the armies. Now tonight, we're going to look at part 2 of our 8 stages of the second coming. That is the destruction of Babylon, the worldwide headquarters of Antichrist. Now this is going to take place while all of his armies are over in Israel, in Megiddo. What is going to happen? No, I don't want to get ahead of myself. The destruction of Babylon, the fact that the city of Babylon, which is modern-day Baghdad, will be rebuilt and become the worldwide headquarters and world capital of the Antichrist was mentioned in our last study. Now, hold that thought, Lucas. But why? Why? Listen, this geographical area is actually the location of Eden. Listen carefully. The Garden of Eden was located by the Euphrates River in Iraq. It's where God started it all. This is why the devil wants that area. He wants to be God. He wants to start his own kingdom, his own Garden of Eden. Listen carefully now. Eden, it began in chapter 2 of Genesis. The very rivers that border Baghdad today are named in Genesis chapter 2 as running through the Garden of Eden. They went right smack through it. Euphrates. Remember that? The rivers that you see in Genesis chapter 2 ran through the Garden of Eden and watered the vegetation. Now, listen carefully. He's a copycat. The devil is a copycat. Everything God does, Lucas mentioned it, the devil tries to imitate. So during the 7 years tribulation, Babylon, The location of the Garden of Eden will become the worldwide political and economical capital of the world. Antichrist will literally control all government worldwide and all economy worldwide. That's important to note. Zechariah chapter 5. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 5. This is going to get intense tonight, and I've got to move because we've got some turf to cover. In Zechariah chapter 5, while the armies of Antichrist are all in Megiddo, way over here, 200 miles to the east, over here to the east for you, is Babylon, the headquarters of Antichrist. Somebody is going to attack Babylon when his armies go to Megiddo. We're going to see who that is. Zechariah chapter number 5. Look at this. Verse 5. Then the angel that talked with me. I prayed for years for the Lord to show me what this passage means, because it's deep. The angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up now thine eyes and see what it is this that goeth forth. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. We're going to talk about that in a minute and what this ephah is and why it's in all the earth. Behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. And he said, this is wickedness. This is wicked. Whatever this is, it's wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, whatever that is. And he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Notice he put lead inside the ephah. Note that. Then lifted I up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women. And when the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, to build it an house in the land of Shinar. Shinar. And it shall, you know, Iraq, that's Shinar. And it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Notice the last word of the chapter. A base is being set up. Now, an ephah was a standard measure of weight in the Old Testament. It became the symbol of economy. They weigh things in the balance in the Old Testament, right? So this ephah, notice it goes through all the earth. In this case, this is a corrupt ephah because someone has added lead to it, giving a false measure. So when you think you're getting a pound of ground beef, you're really getting like 3/4 of a pound. Why? It's a corrupt measure. This is what the Antichrist is going to do worldwide. Now, look at verse number 6. I said, what is this? And he said, this is an ephah. This is a measure. And it goeth forth. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. It's a standard measure through all the earth. Antichrist is going to control all of the world markets. 8. And he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth of the earth. This ephah is a false measure because it contains lead, adding extra weight to it. Then observe where it is set up. Verse 9. This ephah. Then lifted I up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, their demons. For they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. And then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, to build it an house, a center, a headquarter in the land of Shinar. And it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Now, here is a direct prophecy concerning the geographical location, Shinar, which is modern-day Baghdad, where the world economy will be based. Last word, verse 11. Its own base. That's in Babylon, folks. That's where Antichrist is. What this passage is dealing with is the world economic control of the Antichrist. Okay? This is what this prophecy is about. Notice in verse 8, He says, this is wickedness. Why? Because the Antichrist is running things. It's evil. Now, it is in the second stage of the campaign of Armageddon that Babylon will suffer a sudden, irrevocable devastation. A destruction so great that it will never recuperate. No living thing except beasts will be in Babylon after this destruction. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 13 quickly. Isaiah chapter 13. Got to move tonight. Isaiah chapter 13. These prophecies are so clear to me now. It's incredible. The light that the Holy Spirit is shining to those who are seeking is amazing in these last days. He's opening up the scriptures, folks. We're gaining insight like we've never seen before. Look at this in Isaiah chapter 13. The burden of what?
Babylon.
That's the headquarters of who? Antichrist, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. John saw it too. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain. Exalt the voice unto them. Shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. This is God speaking. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in mine highness. I wonder who that is. Whoever this is coming against Babylon, they love God. And they rejoice in his highness. Amen. Verse 4. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people. A tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. This group is coming against the worldwide headquarters of Antichrist in Babylon. And the Lord says, I am mustering this battle. I am bringing my hosts to destroy the headquarters of Antichrist. Verse 5, they come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation, to destroy the whole land. The whole land of Antichrist will be demolished. Now, notice the angelic component of this army. Who are they? Who are they? Listen. Who are they? The answer is clear. These are tribulation saints, those who get saved during the tribulation, with very important, with angelic assistance. Because they couldn't destroy Babylon without angelic assistance. Notice in verse 4, the Lord says, I am mustering the host of the battle. That host is talking about an angelic host who are assisting the human beings who have received Jesus Christ during the tribulation period to come and destroy the headquarters of Babylon. All right, notice the finality. Notice the timing of this destruction. Verse 6, Isaiah 13, look at verse 6. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. When is that going to happen? The day of the Lord, when we see that expression in scripture.
Rapture.
The day of the Lord is what? What's it mean? The day of the Lord.
The day is coming.
The day that's coming. The tribulation period is the day of the Lord. It's actually a 1,000-year day because it includes all of the millennium. But here it's talking about the tribulation period, portion of the day of the Lord. Listen, it's at hand. So he's prophetically talking about our day. He's launched 2,700 years into the future. It shall come as a destruction from who?
The Almighty.
The Almighty. God is going to assure that Babylon is wiped out. Yeah. Verse 7. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. They're going to be terrified when the Lord's army comes to destroy them, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the cities thereof out of it. Yeah, all those who follow the Antichrist, the sinners thereof, all those who receive the mark of the beast are being annihilated. Look at verse 10. For the stars of heaven. Tim, who's that? The stars of heaven?
Angels.
That's right. They're angels. the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened. I wonder when that's going to happen. In his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Why? Because the Lord is bringing destruction upon Babylon. It's the tribulation period, and it's the great tribulation. It's the time for her vengeance to come. But secondly here, concerning this Babylon's destruction, notice the finality of her destruction. Verse 19, chapter 13. Look at verse 19. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, shall rule the world. The beauty of the Chaldees, excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Wow. You know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah?
Oh, yeah.
Fire from heaven devoured them. There was nothing left alive in Sodom and Gomorrah. It created the Dead Sea. To this day, nothing lives in the Dead Sea. You know why? The salt content in the Dead Sea is so high, you can jump in the Dead Sea. You can jump in it, and you'll float. You'll be from waist up. You'll be above the water. Why? Because the salt is so high, the content, from the fire, that sulfur that devoured Sodom and Gomorrah. Look with me at verse 20. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt. Why? Why is it never going to be inhabited? Whose headquarters was there? Antichrist. The Lord is cleansing the earth, preparing for the millennium. Amen? Neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. What generations, Lord?
Always.
No. Millennium. During the millennium. Nobody's going to live in Babylon during the millennium. Because that was the headquarters of Antichrist. Neither shall the Arabian, those Arabs, pitch their tent there. Neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there. And their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. Owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. Those are demons. The wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. The pleasant palaces. It's talking about the magnificent structures and palaces of Babylon's kingdom. And he says owls and birds are going to make their nests in those palaces. No people. They're all going to be destroyed. Look at it. And her time is near to come, and her day shall not be prolonged. Now, observe here that this destruction is connected with the redemption, regeneration, and restoration of Israel. It's connected with the regeneration of Israel. Chapter 14. Look at verse 1. For the Lord will have mercy on who?
Jacob.
Jacob. Somebody tell me, when you see the word, the name Jacob in the scripture, who is that pointing to?
Israel.
That's right. It's pointing to physical Israel. Jacob is his physical name. But when he got saved, he met God in that at Bethel. His name became Israel. That's their spiritual name. So this is talking about physical Jews, right? Jacob. Watch what he says. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob. I wonder when that's going to happen. And will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them. Gentiles who love Israel. And they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them, the Gentiles, in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids. We're going to serve Israel, Gentiles. Right now they kick the Jews around. They spit on them. They kill them. They persecute them. But one day they're going to bow to the Jews. They're going to rule the world for 1,000 years. We are going to rule the world with our bridegroom. Amen? We are going to rule and reign with him, not under him. The Jews are going to be under him, and they're going to rule the world. They shall take them captives whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. We're talking about those Arians this morning, Tim. Those Arians are going to be punished. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage. Bondage under who? Wherein thou wast made to serve. Under who? Israel. Antichrist. Antichrist. Pharaoh is a type of Antichrist. Remember the Jews down in Egypt? And they had to serve in hard bondage. This is what's going to happen during the millennium. They're going to be in bondage. But the Lord Jesus Christ, their Messiah, will deliver them. Glory to God. But if you notice the connection between chapter 13, verse 22, and chapter 14, verse 1, We have the destruction of Babylon in 13, and immediately he says, I'm going to set Israel in their own land. You see the connection? I'm going to educate you. The connection is destroy Antichrist, all his armies, all his headquarters, and set up the Jews for 1,000 years. A kingdom that will not be destroyed. Glory to God. Now, notice the totality of Babylon's annihilation. Chapter 14. Look with me at verse 22. Don't miss this. 22. For I will... Wait a minute. This is God talking. Look at 22. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts. And cut off from where? Babylon. It's the destruction of Babylon. The name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. I'm going to kill them all, the Lord says. Why? Because they worship the beast, the Antichrist. They received his mark. They bowed down and they worshiped him as their God. And the Lord says, therefore, I'm going to cut them off. Verse 22, verse 23, and I will also make it a possession for the bittern, pools of water, and I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. Drop down to verse 24. The Lord of hosts had sworn, when God swears, you better listen, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. He said, you mark it down. The Antichrist is going to be destroyed by my hand. That, look at verse 25, don't miss this, that I will break the what?
Assyrian.
You guys remember a lesson I taught at Tim's a while back on the Assyrian? Who did we learn the Assyrian is in Scripture? Antichrist. And always, always, when you see the Assyrian in the Old Testament, it's talking prophetically about the Antichrist. Always. We saw that clearly. And he says in verse 25, I will break the Assyrian in my land. Oh, I love it. He's going to destroy him on the mountains of Israel. Why? The Antichrist is not in Babylon at this point. Follow me. The Antichrist is not there. He's in Megiddo with his armies, getting ready to attack the Jews in Jerusalem. Remember? He's not there. He said, I'm going to destroy him in my land. God's land is Israel, right? The Antichrist is not there yet, but he will be. And I will destroy the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. What a sight that'll be. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, the Jews, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. Glory to God. The next prophet that deals in great detail concerning the destruction of Babylon is Jeremiah. Jeremiah, go with me to Jeremiah chapter number 50. Don't miss this. Jeremiah spends 117 verses, chapter 50 and 51 of Jeremiah, on what? One item, the destruction of Babylon. 117 verses! Do you think God means what he says? You better believe it.
Jeremiah
he
50.
Gives us 50.
Yeah. Yeah.
He gives us such detail, graphic detail of this destruction in chapter 50 and 51 that your ears are going to tingle. Watch this in Jeremiah chapter number 50. Look at verse 1. Somebody read that for me. Verse 1.
The word that the Lord spoke against Babylon.
Against who?
Babylon.
I thought that's what he said.
And against the land of the
Chaldeans.
Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet.
Okay, thank you, Tim. You see here, in the opening verse, God says, I want you to know who I'm talking about very specifically. It's Babylon. And everything I'm about to say is going to happen to Babylon. Mark it down. You can bank on it. Babylon is going down. Now, he gives us two huge chapters concerning this destruction. Notice the gathering of the army. Verse 8. The gathering of the army. Verse 8. Remove out of the midst of Babylon. And go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans, and be as the he-goats before the flocks. Now, verse 8 is a parenthetical warning. To who? The Jews. He's telling them, get out of Babylon. Get out of Dodge. Because it's going to be annihilated. Look with me here in verse 9. For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From them she shall be taken. Their arrow shall be as a mighty expert man. None shall return in vain. 10. And Chaldea shall be a spoil. All that spoil her shall be satisfied, saith the Lord. He says, I'm bringing my army. I'm bringing it against Babylon. And she's going to destroy everything in sight. Observe the extent of this destruction in verse 11. Because ye were glad, because ye rejoiced, O ye destroyers of mine heritage. Who's that? That's the Antichrist and his ugly bunch, destroying Israel. And God says, because ye rejoiced, ye destroyers of mine heritage, because ye have grown fat as the heifer at grass and bellow as bulls, your mother shall be sore confounded. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nations shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. When I get through, because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited. It's going to be uninhabitable. It's probably going to be full of radiation from the fierceness of his anger, not from nuclear bombs. But it shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at all her plagues. Put yourselves in array against Babylon round about, all ye that bend the bow. Shoot at her. Spare no arrows, for she hath sinned against the Lord. She's not getting away with it. Shout against her round about. She hath given her hand. Her foundations are fallen. Her walls are thrown down. Time out before we continue reading. The walls of Babylon, you could drive 6 chariots abreast on those walls, all the way around, 60 miles around. The walls of Babylon were that big. 300 feet high and like 60 feet wide, solid stone, the walls of Babylon. Impenetrable. Antichrist is going to rebuild them. And you know what he says right here? In verse 15, look at it. Her foundations have fallen, her walls are thrown down. Those walls are coming down. Why? Her walls are thrown down, for it is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance upon her. As she hath done, do unto her. Cut off the sower from Babylon, and him that handleth the sickle in the time of harvest. For fear of the oppressing sword, they shall turn every one to his people, and they shall flee every one to his own land, that is, to his own house. The people, the inhabitants of Babylon, I'm going to be, there'll be millions of them, by the way. Millions of them. Can you imagine how many people are going to take the mark of the beast? Everybody in sight. You want to eat? Take the mark. No. You want medical? You're dying? You want some medicine? Take the mark. You want your kids to eat? Take the mark. See? They're all going to take it. They're all going to be deceived. And look at here. Not all. There'll be a faithful remnant during the tribulation period. Now, notice, they shall turn everyone to his own people, and they shall flee. They're fleeing from the wrath that's coming. The Assyrian, look at this, in verse 17, Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First, the king of Assyria.
Which is the Antichrist.
Antichrist, you got it. Hath devoured him. Who did he devour? Israel. Only a third. Listen, there's approximately 16 million living Jews. Some say 18. It could be. Because we call New York the Little Jerusalem. There's over 1 million Jews in New York. Did you know that? Call it the Little Jerusalem. Yeah. Over 1 million Jews live in New York. But there's about 16 to 18 million Jews alive in the world. Total population of physical seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Bible tells us specifically that only one third of them will come through the fire. Will be purged, and only two-thirds will be cut off. So when he says here in verse 18, Israel is a scattered sheep, the lions have driven him away, the king of Assyria hath devoured him, yeah, we're talking the scale of 10 million Jews executed by the Antichrist. That's a lot of Jews.
Oh, man.
That's worse, twice as many as Hitler, almost.
How many?
We're talking about 10 million. It's two-thirds of the living Jews are going to be killed, it says in the Bible. We'll see that later. But last, this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. Verse 18, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land. His land is modern-day Baghdad, as I have punished the king of Assyria. Now, notice here, the fall of Babylon, verse 21, go up against the land of Mirathaim, even That, by the way, that Merithaim, that Hebrew word, you know what it means? The rebels. The rebels. Rebelliousness is a sin of witchcraft. Go up against the land of the rebels. That's what God's saying. Even against it and against the inhabitants of Pekod. That's the land of visitation. Waste and utterly destroy after them, saith the Lord. And do according to all that I have commanded thee. A sound of battle. Look at this. A sound of battle is in the land. What land? Babylon. And of great destruction. Question. How is the hammer of the whole earth, notice he ruled the whole world, cut asunder and broken? Now let me tell you something, folks. I couldn't do that. If I had a million man army, I couldn't do that. Only God could do what we're reading about here. And he's going to. Verse 23. How is Babylon become a desolation amongst the nations? I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon. And thou wast not aware. Thou art found and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord. Yeah, they're going to set up about 100-foot tall statue of the Antichrist, and they're going to bow down to it. And they're going to worship it. The image of the beast. By the way, you know what the image of the beast is? This came to me at work the other night. And I said, wow! The image of the beast. John the Revelator was seeing the image. He was seeing it all. He was seeing it with his eyes. And what he saw, listen to me, was an HD widescreen television. And guess who was on it? Because he said, it both moved and spake. He was seeing, what's an image? What is an image? An image is a replica of a person. He was seeing the Antichrist on worldwide satellite TV. That's the image of the beast, folks. He, when he speaks, the whole world is going to sit and listen attentively to every word. Yeah, before he goes. Yeah, that's like Hitler. The image of the beast is an image of the beast. You know, sometimes the word of God is so simple. We look past, you know, we try to figure out all this stuff, and we just read it and believe it. Amen? The image of the beast will both move and speak. And they'll bow down to that image and worship it. Oh, yeah. Now, they already have the technology to see through the cable TV, you know. They can see you by reversing the signal.
Cable?
You don't think, right? You don't think Antichrist is going to utilize that? He'll be watching you in your house.
I know the computer they can.
You open a Bible or you pray to Jesus, off with the head. Go ahead, Lucas.
I'm sure there's some people in our government doing the same thing right now.
Right now. I agree. They're watching us, especially us.
Maybe I'll add to that as well. And that is like,
yep.
My dad and I had this discussion. Actually, we both believe that the false prophet's going to arise out of Islam, and that them and the Antichrist are going to join forces, and then once they're done with Israel, or time to be done with Israel, turn on each other.
Oh, yeah. Because they're going to turn.
Think about it, right? If
we
have skull and bones members of our government, and yet they have ties to Islam, I mean, think about it. Why is it that we have two U.S. senators who said we don't want to investigate if Saudi Arabia had a hand in 9/11? Because that would be too complicated.
Saudi Arabia carried out 9/11.
They did. And they...
15 of the 19 hijackers, guess where they were from?
Saudi Arabia. Not only that, but also they knew it was coming, and they just
Saudi Arabia. You know what we did? We attacked Iraq.
Yeah.
Hello.
That's what Babylon will be.
Exactly. 25. The Lord hath opened his armory. You see that in verse 25? When the Lord opens his armory, there's some weapons coming out, folks.
Yeah.
And you better look out if you're on the wrong side. Verse 25, and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation. For this is the work of the Lord God of hosts. Where? In the land of the Chaldeans, Babylon. Come against her from the utmost border. Open her storehouses, cast her up as heaps, and destroy her utterly. Let nothing of her be left. Slay all her bullocks, all her strong men. Let them go down to the slaughter. Woe unto them. When God says woe unto them, you better watch out. For their day is come, the time of their visitation. Now, this destruction of the Antichrist Babylon will be so total and so final that it will be as total as the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at verse 39. We're skipping over some because it's some of it's repetitive, describing the utter destruction. 39, therefore the wild beasts of the desert with the wild beasts of the island shall dwell there, and the owls shall dwell therein, and it shall be no more inhabited forever, not by man, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation during the millennium, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. Now here's what's going to happen, boys and girls. When the armies of God come against Babylon while he's down there with his armies at Megiddo, in physical Babylon, fire from heaven is coming down on Babylon's head. He says it right there. As the destruction of who?
Sodom and Gomorrah.
And what do I always tell you guys and gals? God means what he says, and he says what he means. These preachers, they love to spiritualize away everything the Bible says. Oh, it doesn't really mean fire.
Yes, it does.
Hello?
He said he wouldn't flood us, so the opposite of flood is
you got it. You got it, girl. 2 Peter chapter 3, it's going to melt with fervent heat. Lucas.
Got it. So the fire coming down, that's going to be literally God's fire from heaven. There's not going to be another military.
Literal. All right. Literal. There will be military weapons coming against Babylon, but the insurety of the victory is the fire from heaven.
Yeah.
That God.
I don't know if the enemy's going to know it, but he's going to leave his entire nation wide open for enemy missiles.
He's sending all his armies to Megiddo to destroy the Jews in Jerusalem.
Nobody reserved left for.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the Bible says that the devils believe in God and tremble.
Yep.
I mean, then they should read this and find out what's going on.
I know.
I've read it already.
Well, Kim Carroll, that's
I've read it already.
She just brought up a great point. Why does the devil? One preacher said one time, I was listening to this message, good message, and he said, I thought to myself once, why doesn't the devil repent and turn to God and serve him? And he said, then the answer came to me. There is no salvation or redemption provided for the devils and the demons. He can't. Listen to me. The reason he's coming against the Jews, his only shot at escaping the lake of fire forever is killing every Jew. Are you listening?
Yeah.
He knows it. If he could repent and get saved, he would. He can't because no provision has been made.
Oh, so then he's obsessed with going to and killing the Jews.
Yep. And he is going to make the masses of humanity believe his deception that they can beat Jesus Christ in a fight.
Oh, wow. Well, I was in the
sun. Because I lost my train of thought. Too many.
Too much.
Because
too much.
Of his pride, all the I wills. He still believes he can outsmart.
His pride is so intense that he believes his own lies.
And we're I know people. To the
yeah. Some preachers.
The last time I was in the psych ward, there was a Satanist in there. I was a roommate.
Oh, man.
He saw my Bible.
Yep.
And he came out to me and he says, my God's going to rip your head, your God's head off and poop down your neck. I said, my God made your God. I said, you better repent.
Right.
I said that there's no salvation for people that blaspheme the Holy Ghost.
Right. Now, listen to what he just said.
And then
Satanist actually believes the lies of Satan.
Yes,
that Satan is going to defeat Jesus Christ at the battle of Armageddon.
And he was saying, you Christians aren't going to be here long.
They believe that. The devil worshippers believe what he just said. The guy told it to him face to face. They actually believe the lies of the devil. You know what's going to happen to these people? Oh, man. Not going to be pretty. Now, notice the result of this destruction. Verse 45. Therefore hear ye the counsel of the Lord, that he hath taken against Babylon, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. When God purposes to do something, folks, you cannot stop it. You cannot alter it in any way. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. You know what he just said? He said, my weakest human soldier will put a beating on those Antichrist people. Look at it. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate with them. Who's the them? It's the tribulation believers that are turning against the Antichrist. Verse 46, at the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved. There's some major explosions going on, folks. And the cry is heard amongst the nations.
Wow.
The cry is heard all over the world at the destruction of Babylon. Now, In chapter 51, quickly, we see the reason why... Oh, I got to finish up. The reason why Babylon is destroyed. Look at verse 7. Chapter 51. Why are they being destroyed? Verse 7. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. Now, this is not physical drunkenness, but spiritual drunkenness. They don't know where they're going. The nations have drunken of her wine. They're intoxicated by Antichrist. They're literally drunk on his lies, his deception. Therefore, the nations are mad. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her, take balm for her pain. If so be, she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go everyone into his own country, for her judgment reacheth unto heaven, and is lifted up even to the skies. This is a severe judgment coming. But look at the reason why, verse 24. Verse 24, and I will render unto Babylon, to all the inhabitants of Chaldea, that's all of Iraq. He'll have all of Iraq as his headquarters. Listen, but his throne will be in Babylon. Look what it says, verse 24. To all the inhabitants of Chaldea, all their evil that they have done, where?
In Zion.
In Zion. Somebody tell me, what is Zion?
The Jews. Israel.
Israel. It's Jerusalem. Zion is Jerusalem. Always, when you see that word in the Old Testament. 24. For that they have done, all the evil that they have done in Zion, in your sight, saith the Lord. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain. Look at this. Another reason why they're going to be destroyed. Verse 25. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyest all the earth. The whole earth, these plagues that are coming, folks, during the tribulation period, I can't say this enough. The world, we haven't seen nothing. We're talking about disaster. This world is going to be, it's unimaginable. The things that are going to take place during this seven-year period, the Bible says it's a time like there's never been in the history of the world. It's going to be so bad. And the Antichrist is going to destroy the whole earth. And he says, I will stretch out mine hand, 25, upon thee and roll thee down from the rocks and will make thee a burnt mountain. Yeah, burnt. There's fire coming down from heaven. And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but thou shalt be desolate forever, saith the Lord. Notice whose purpose will stand in verse 29. And the land shall tremble and sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make her land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. Notice, no survivors, folks. This is a sad message. These folks have followed the lies of Antichrist. They've received his mark. They've fallen down and worshipped him. And now they're paying the ultimate price. Observe what regenerate Israel will say. Verse 35. Regenerate Israel. This is the remnant. The violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon. And the inhabitant of Zion say, and my blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea shall Jerusalem say. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will plead thy cause and take vengeance for thee, Israel, and I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry. Glory to God. Notice the reaction of heaven and earth in verse 48. The reaction of heaven and earth. Then the heaven and the earth and all that is therein shall sing for Babylon. For the spoilers shall come unto her from the north, saith the Lord. As Babylon hath caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth. And notice the reaction of heaven singing at the destruction of Babylon. Why? Because it's a great victory for God's people. Israel is about to inhabit her kingdom after 6,000 years. Glory to God. Notice the results of Babylon's fall. Verse 54. Verse 54, a sound of a cry cometh from Babylon, and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans, because the Lord hath spoiled Babylon and destroyed out of her the great voice, when her waves do roar like great waters, a noise of their voices uttered, because the spoiler is come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken. Every one of their bows is broken. No more weapons. For the Lord God of recompenses shall surely requite. And I will make drunk her princes and her wise men, and her captains and her rulers, and her mighty men, all of them. And they shall sleep a perpetual sleep, and not wake, saith who? There he is. The Messiah is coming down, folks. Saith the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. The broad walls of Babylon, yeah, you know those 60-foot walls, shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire, and the people shall labor in vain, and the folk in the fire, and they shall be weary. Now, something amazing occurs here in verse 62. Don't miss this. Verse 62, look at it. Then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither shall man nor beast, but it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be, when thou hast made an end of reading this book, Jeremiah, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it where? In the midst of the Euphrates River. What's significant about that? What did we learn in our first week class? That the Euphrates River is going to be what? Dried up. Dried up for the kings of the east to come to Megiddo. Remember that? And what's going to happen when that river is dried up? Something is going to
cross.
They can go right across on dry ground, and something is going to appear on the ground.
That thing!
Did you see that, Ellie? Yeah. I never saw that before.
What thing?
This scroll of the... He wants Jeremiah to write chapter 50 and 51 concerning the destruction of Babylon on a scroll. He said, bind it with stones and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates. Why? Because the Euphrates River is going to be dried up for the Antichrist. They're going to walk right over their own destruction. They're going to walk right over it. All they got to do is pick it up and read and turn back. But they keep them. Unbelievable!
That's like Moses and Pharaoh.
There you go.
Yep.
And thou shalt say, look at this, verse 64. And thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Now, in closing, here's what I want you to see. Notice who is missing from Babylon when this massive destruction takes place. Look at chapter 50, verse 43. Chapter 50, verse 43. Somebody read that.
Her cities are a desolation, a dry land, and a wilderness, a land wherein no man dwelleth, neither doth any son of man.
Chapter 50.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hang
up. I was wondering what was going on.
The king of Babylon hath heard the report of them, and his hands waxed feeble against, took hold of them. And pangs as a woman in travail.
Did you hear what Paul just read?
No.
The destruction of Babylon is occurring all through this chapter. And verse 43 says, the king of Babylon, who's that, folks? Antichrist. Yeah. Hath what?
Waxed feeble.
Heard the report of them. Who is the them? It's his people being destroyed back at home in Babylon. He's not there, folks.
Yeah.
He hears the report. You got to follow this prophecy. Chapter 51. Look at verse 31. Somebody read that. Verse 31. Oh, this is good stuff.
One post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at one end.
Did you hear it? They've got to go and inform him that Babylon is destroyed. He's not there, folks. He's still breathing. But not for long. 32. Somebody read verse 32.
And at the passages are stopped, and the reeds they have burned with fire, and the men of war are frightened.
I love this. He throws in there. Oh yeah, by the way, AC, your guys are really shaking in their boots. All of the soldiers of the Antichrist in Megiddo, they're trembling. They're saying, who destroyed our land back home? Anyway, who was that? They're getting scared. They're getting afraid, man, because they know it's coming on their heads next. Now, in closing, notice here, the Antichrist is with his armies in Megiddo when his worldwide headquarters are destroyed back home. He's in the Valley of Jezreel, Har Megiddon, First stage. Next, notice that just prior to this destruction, a warning goes out to the Jews to flee out of Babylon. Look at chapter 50. Somebody read verse 6. This is before the destruction comes, verse 6, right?
Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense.
Glory to God. Was that 51:6?
No, 51. I was 51.
Oh, you said 50.
You said 51.
50. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you know what? That was the same prophecy she just made. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I said, where is she reading? Because that's the same thing that we're talking about right now.
Flee out of the midst of Babylon, yes, and deliver every man a soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity.
Read verse 8, Carol.
Verse 8?
Yep.
Babylon is
suddenly... of chapter 50.
All right, you didn't say that.
Sorry.
First, out of the midst of Babylon, yep, and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans, and be as the he-goats and before the flocks.
Now, here's what I want you to see, folks. Before the destruction of Babylon, God takes his physical Jews, his people, out of Babylon. Before the wrath falls, anybody get an idea what this might be portraying?
Now, wait a minute, sir.
Rapture! He's taking us out before the destruction falls. That's the rapture.
Are you talking about the tribulation rapture?
Prior to it.
We're supposed to go out before.
So all of this, correct, is going to happen and we're going to be here?
No.
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 We're going to be gone.
We're going to be gone.
This here, he's talking to Israel, not Christians.
Okay.
Israel.
All right.
Okay. Good question, though. Now, notice the word temple in verse 28. Don't miss this, folks. Verse 28. 51.
51. There's a temple on 5028.
Read it.
The voice of them that fled and escaped out of the land of Babylon to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple.
Amen. Now, I got a question for you. Why in verse 28 does it say it's the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple? What happened in his temple that he has to take vengeance?
Jesus, his body was the temple and he rose on the third day.
No, I mean his temple, his literal physical temple, rebuilt.
The abomination of desolation.
The abomination of desolation has already occurred at this point. Remember, this is the last month of the 7 years. The abomination of desolation takes place at mid-trib, 42 months in. He says, I need to make some vengeance for my temple. The Antichrist sat in there and said, I'm God, worship me, all the world.
But he's going to rapture the Jews out before the...
No, they're going through the tribulation period. They're in unbelief. They're in unbelief right now. That's why they're going through the trip. At the end of the tribulation period, they will come into regeneration. They will receive Messiah. Now, I got to finish. Notice here, another warning in chapter 51. Look with me at verse 50. Somebody read that.
Ye that have escaped the sword, go away, stand not still, remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind.
Quickly, notice here that the Lord directs his people not only to flee out of Babylon, but he tells them where to go. Notice that he says in verse 50, let Jerusalem come into your mind. He's saying, go to Jerusalem. I'm going to save you there upon Mount Olivet. Now, God gives specific instruction to his people where to go once they flee Babylon. Notice the connection of Israel's regeneration with the timing of Babylon's destruction. Chapter 50, look at verse 20. Read it, someone. 50 and verse 20.
In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none
in what?
The sins of Judah, and they shall not be found.
What?
I will pardon them whom I reserve.
Did anybody hear that? In those days and at that time, Israel's not going to have any sin. What happened to these physical Jews?
They repent.
They repented, and they received who?
Christ.
Their Messiah. He came down, and they said, yes, Lord, you are the son of David, the king of Israel.
And
now,
they repented and were so disturbed when they realized it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the mourning as for an only begotten son. This regeneration is spoken of in chapter 31 of Jeremiah. Don't turn there. It says, I will pour out my spirit upon them, and I will make a new covenant with them. That's the new covenant for Israel, not for the church. We'll get into that later. Another graphic prophecy of this destruction is Revelation chapter 18. Don't turn there, because we don't have time. Read it at home. Revelation chapter 18 speaks of this specific destruction of Babylon, literal, Baghdad, clearly and graphically in great detail. The fall is declared in Revelation 18. It'll become the abode of demons during the millennium. Listen, for 1,000 years, the demons are going to abide in Babylon. Those birds, those wild birds, those are demons. Now, notice the global political and global economic corruption. You can see that in Revelation 18, 4 and 5. Again, warning, Revelation 18, verse 4 and 5, warning given to the Jews to come out of her, my people. Remember that? The indictment against her, verses 6 through 8 of Revelation 18. It's a threefold indictment. You know what, folks? I'm going to have to finish this next Sunday night. This is so good. We, you know, it's like, wow, man, you want to keep going. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we could keep going all night long. This stuff is so good, Lord. And the revelation, the enlightenment, Holy Spirit, that you are giving to us, it is mind-boggling. Lord, I'm so thankful tonight that this church loves Jesus Christ, loves His Word, and we're seeking Your will and Your Word. And Lord, You're opening up the Scriptures to us like never before. We're seeing things we've never seen before, Lord. How exciting is this? And I know it's because You're about to split the portals of glory and rapture us out, and the tribulation period will begin, and all the prophecies of Your Word will come to pass. Jesus Christ will fulfill every jot and tittle. I thank You, Lord, that we're on the winning side tonight. Lord, I thank You that church is exciting. Church is fun. Church is wonderful. It's glorious. And Lord, this is what You intended from the beginning, that Your people would gather together in holy love and joy and peace and the Holy Ghost, and that we would worship You and sit around Your Word and learn at Your feet by Your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful for what Sister Carol said this morning. Lord, how that touched my heart. She said she loves coming to church, and she's drawing closer to You as a result, Lord. That's not because of Bob Oliver. That's because of Your Holy Spirit, which is here in our midst. We thank You for that, Lord. We all feel what she's feeling. We're all drawing closer to You, Lord. And we're learning more and more of the prophecies of Holy Writ. And Father, I thank You that we have the answers for this sin-sick world. The answer is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, He is the answer. He is the only hope for escaping the wrath of God. Lord, we thank You that all these things are about to come to pass, and we are on the winning side. We thank You that You will rapture us up and out. Harpazo will be caught away, as the Scripture says, and so shall we be with the Lord forever. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words You said. Lord, we thank You tonight for the verses we've looked at. Lord, sorry, I had to go so quick because there's just so much turf to cover. You pack so much in Your Word, Lord. It's just amazing. We're so grateful tonight, Lord. What a great day we've had in church. And Father, we thank You for the messages. It's Your Word. It's Your Holy Spirit. It's Your power manifest in our midst. Glory to God. As we're dismissed tonight, Lord, we pray You go with us, go before us. Open doors this week, like Brother Tim gave his testimony, and Sister Carol giving that tract to the fellow, the neighbor that the loved one died. And Father, we pray for him too, Bob, that he would come to know You, Lord Jesus, as his Savior, that he might even come to church. Father, we pray that You give all of us opportunities to share Your love, Your gospel, Your truth. Lord, use us. We are lights in a world full of darkness. And Lord, you said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Oh, Lord, use us for your honor and glory. This morning we talked about total submission to the Father's will that Jesus Christ exhibited throughout his earthly life. And Lord, we want to be imitators of him. We want to be submissive to your holy will. We want to be right in the center of your will. Because Lord, D.L. Moody said, there's no telling. There's no limit to what God can do with a man that a woman that's fully surrendered to him. That's we want to be that man and that woman, Lord. We want to be those faithful servants in these last days. We want to bring forth much fruit. We want to glorify Jesus Christ and hold up the truth of this book till he comes. We thank you that we can do it by the grace of God and the Spirit of the living God which indwells us through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. And the people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Grab our hymnals, folks. If you don't mind, let's sing one final hymn tonight in closing. Can't resist. 34. Hymn 34. And this is a suitable hymn in closing. Let's stand and sing together as we finish up. Glory to God. First, second, and fourth. Whew. Higher ground.
Pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land. A harder plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My path has no desires to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. The sinners dwell where these are found. My prayer, my aim, it's higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. On the last, I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. And still I'll pray till heaven I'm found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven. Tableland,
a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Woohoo! Praise the Lord, brethren. Lucas, dismiss us in prayer, brother. So good to see you. Yes, Lord.
And I also pray that we also come back next week and continue on with this series.
Mm. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Rob, a couple things I do want to talk to you about.
Yeah, sure, man.
First off, I'm kind of thinking about this a little bit lately, and that is, obviously, you know, I do teach online. What I want to do as well is I spoke to a buddy of mine this past week about possibly doing some community work in person related to the Mitch.
Bible study.
Well, possibly that, but I'm also possibly looking at something maybe a little further out too. Like, I don't want to do in addition to like all that stuff. So maybe like, I don't know, what's the best way to say this? Like some community projects, like outreach type projects.
Yes.
The only thing is, I don't know where to begin, so I wonder if I might be able to start maybe sometime, I don't know, soon, maybe sit down with you, maybe go over some of the information.
Yes. Oh, awesome, dude. That's what we need, is outreach. You know, it's great being here, we're learning so much, but out there, They need the truth.
Well, same deal with the page I'm writing as well. It's just that, it's just that, like, what I want to do is kind of sit down and brainstorm some ideas to, like, figure out how to go about it.
Absolutely,
also,
brother.
Other question. Do you think you're in this place like once a week?
You mean the meetings we have here?
Like, is it, they're talking about, like, I said, the other question I had was, you need somebody to clean this place?
Oh, cleaning! Actually, they have...